Amen.
Hallelujah. I know that a lot of us have traveled for Christmas break, Christmas holiday. But whether you travel, whether you stay, there are some of us that stay put. Amen. We are on the Lord's assignment. Praise the Lord. So even if it was only you that came for service, I will still preach this sermon and I will preach it hotter. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for those testimonies. We thank you for what you are doing in the lives of your people. To you be all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I wish I could ask Pastor Kinney what time he had that testimony of deliverance. So you see, as a Christian, I wanted to say as a pastor, but as a Christian, first of all, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit. You know, our brother Ubong talked about how he just heard in the Spirit, go and check on your brother. And to him, he was going to check on his brother, not knowing that he was protecting himself by obeying that instruction. No negative emergency for you in the name of Jesus. No negative emergencies in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please pardon my voice. I feel like since my time in Abuja, this has been the harshest Hamatan ever. Please just bear with me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I like I was talking about sensitivity, I had a sense in this week to take a night to pray. And I was praying for many church members. And one of the things I was saying is, I come against negative emergency. My wife can remember that night I woke everybody up and said, we are praying this night. You cannot be living with a pastor and at least you experience one or two all nights. So I said, we are praying this night. And at some point in the prayer, I was led to talk to begin to pray against negative emergency. Once again, every negative emergency in your life is hereby canceled. Amen. Whatever the devil has planned against you, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today is a very special Sunday for two reasons. Number one, after this Sunday, we have just one more Sunday to the end of this year. Glory. Glory. And number two, it is the Sunday after our just concluded immersion camp. Were you blessed? And I know some of you have been wondering, what are they talking about? It's the immersion camp is our biggest annual conference, which we hold every year in December to spiritually rejuvenate us and prophetically prepare us for the new year. And it was an interesting time with Jesus last week. We had all our brethren come from our other branches, Port Harcourt, Lagos, other parts of Nigeria, and even outside the country. And I know that you can still go back and encounter what God did. Amen. Amen. However, I have a fear. I have a fear that if you are not careful, or if we are not careful, we can be under some form of attack. And this attack, I call it the attack of the spirit of lukewarmness. Are you with me? The attack of the spirit of lukewarmness. And this type of lukewarmness is the type that is fueled by distractions, where you are doing everything except the things that crystallize and solidify your roots in Christ. Are you with me? You know, I remember when I got born again, there were certain things that are distractions today that did not even exist as at then. I got born again August 2005. There was no Facebook. There was no WhatsApp. There was no Instagram. I didn't even have a phone. Are you with me? I could easily just bring out my hard copy Bible and read the Bible and pray. But right now, there are so many things to keep you perpetually distracted. Are you with me? And I have a fear that God will have to deliver us from such distractions in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Luke 22 from verse 31 to 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he will sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Do you know what that means? When you want to sift something like wheat, you know what a sifter or what a sieve is used for. If you are sifting garri, Nigerians can relate. It helps to separate the particles of a smaller matter from the particles that are bigger. Are you with me? And the ones that are not big enough will fall through the sieve. And actually, it is those small, tiny particles that make for the substance of the grain. Are you with me? When a person is sifted spiritually, like what Jesus was saying, you will look like you are still there, but the very small, small, small things that make you to matter will all have been gone. And so, as a child of God, you have to be very watchful. Are you with me? Are you with me? You have to be watchful. After a big program like what we just had, powerful encounter, powerful experience, we've been getting miracle testimonies, healing testimonies. Are you with me? There is a tendency to take a spiritual vacation. Just take holiday and say, Kai, 5 days on the mountain. I need 50 days for reset. Are you with me? Hey, for instance, I personally, you know, when we're having camp meetings like that, some weeks to the camp meeting, I cannot eat again. People who live with me, they know, people who have stayed with me, they know Pastor David. I'm not trying to blow trumpet or anything. It's just what it is what it is. You give Pastor David food, he will say, divide it. You bring it again, I say, divide it again. And it's not because I'm trying to form spiritual or trying to act. It's because when I'm getting close to a special meeting, the Holy Ghost does something to me. I cannot wake up in the morning and just say, hey, what do we have for breakfast? Fried egg and bread. No. Satan wants to fry people's destiny. You have to be on fire to roast him out. Are you with me? But after immersion camp, I said, see, I've been fasting for almost 100 days. Please, I want breakfast. I had breakfast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Thursday, my body started telling me, no. Normally, you don't eat breakfast. What are you doing? By Thursday, I felt like the holiday is too much. I've rested too much. Are you with me? So as a Christian, you have to know when you have taken too long. Overcompensation. And so I began to pray. What do I need to? How do I prepare God's people to protect all they have received? And the Lord put these words in my spirit. New normal. Say after me, new normal. Say it again, new normal. You see, the term new normal was popularized in 2008 after the global financial crisis. And then it also resurfaced again after the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. And new normal just simply refers to a changed state of life, a permanently altered state of life after a major event. Are you with me? God forbid, but if a person has an accident that breaks his leg and now he has to be reclined to the wheelchair, that has become his new normal. Praise the Lord. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, after the COVID-19 pandemic, some companies had to embrace working from home as their new normal. Are you getting this? That became their new normal. Some companies learned to outsource their labor and manpower and all of that. So, that became their new normal. But you see, in the realm of the spirit, that same concept also exists. That after a major encounter with God, there must be a new normal in your life. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? I'm not hearing any sound from you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. After a major encounter with God, there ought to be a change in your life, a complete, permanent change. You see, until your routines change, spiritual encounters will not last. Until your routines change. Have you ever asked yourself, why do people attend many great meetings, great encounters? A pastor will come and say, you, come out. The Lord is showing me something. And everything and everything. And 1 year later, 2 year later, 2 years later, it seems like, what really happened? If you understand what I'm about to share with you, your story will be different. Amen. So in the Bible, after major encounters with God, the men of old, they learned to take up certain consecrations as a new way of life for three major reasons. Number one, to commemorate those encounters as a holy memorial to God. All this big grammar I just spoke is to preserve that holy memory. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, let me tell you something. When preparing for this teaching, I think the Lord began to open my eyes to see how we are living in a generation of so much variety that people don't know what it means to be men of covenant. The worldly people understand it more. And when I mean worldly people, people who are serving Satan. Have you not watched all those Nigerian movies that talk about voodoo and all those things? They will tell them 12 noon or 12 midnight every day, you are supposed to come and pour libation at a certain point. Miss one first. Are you with me? They are so consistent. It's almost like a covenant ritual, a holy memory. Are you with me? But a child of God feels, I can pray today. Must I pray tomorrow? I prayed on Monday now. It doesn't work that way. Are you with me? So number one, they took up certain consecrations to have a holy memorial before God. Say for me, a holy memorial before God. Number two, to preserve the impact of such encounters. To preserve the impact of such encounters. You know, even our programs. One of the reasons why our programs have a certain time is as a holy memorial before God. For instance, we know that at the end of every year, we will gather unto God at the immersion camp. That's a holy memorial before God. Are you with me? I don't see. The Muslim faith is not the way to God. You may not agree, but that's. Are you with me? But there are some things you can learn. When is prayer time? It's a holy memorial. Are you with me? I want us to get to the point where your office knows, even as a manager, even as a branch general manager, they know that either first week or second week of December, our manager is going for pilgrimage. They have immersion camp. Are you with me? And of course, like I've taught earlier this year, that cannot even happen if you're not a person of excellence. I know a manager in Agip Oil Company. He's one of the top managers in that company. I happen to know him for many years, even before he got to that position. And spiritual man, in fact, he's one of the men that taught me how to pray. He told me, first of every month, he doesn't go to work. First of every month, he prays for 10 hours. His Indian bosses, everybody, his German bosses, all of them, his Italian bosses, they know first of every month, Joseph is not around. Are you with me? He has gone to pray. And they know when he comes back, he used to do wonders in this office. Are you following me? So, number one, they take up consecrations for holy memorial. Number two, to preserve the impact of such encounters. And number three, to enter into the fullness of what God originally intended. Let me say it again. Number one, the reason why after such a powerful encounter, men of God took up certain consecrations as a way of life is number one, to preserve a holy memorial unto God or to commemorate a holy memorial unto God. Number two, to preserve such encounters. Number three, to enter into the fullness of what God originally intended. You know, I was talking to a doctor and I was sharing some of my thoughts with her about medicine. And I tried. We have Dr. Wana here, so if I'm wrong, you can just correct me a little bit. When a person is sick and they're administering drugs in pharmacology, I think there is something called loading dose, right? Where they'll give you a major dose of the medicine. They hit you. They give you a loading dose. Boom! Can you hear me? And after they give you a loading dose and you seem to improve, there's what they call a maintenance dose. Am I correct? A maintenance dose to complete what the loading dose was for. So that means if you got a loading dose and you did not get the maintenance dose, your treatment may not be complete. In the same way, when we have special programs like that and the power of God is so strong and it hits people, you know, you saw what was happening here all throughout the days from day one to day five. You saw that, right? That's a loading dose. But there must be maintenance doses. Are you with me? So, let me give you some examples in the Bible of how people responded to God after a divine encounter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Genesis 28, Jacob was running from Esau after he had received the blessing. And then he ran to a place called Luz. Or Luz, depending on how you want to pronounce it. L-U-Z. And he lay down there to sleep. And in his sleep, he had an encounter. He saw angels ascending and descending. And then in verse 16, when he woke up from the sleep, the Bible says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Are you with me? And then in verse 19, he changed the name of the place from Luz to Bethel. Now, Luz means separated. But Bethel means the house of God. Are you following me? You know, when that sister was giving her testimony, how that her spiritual life was restored when she came for the service. That's something like that. Where at some point you were separated from God, but after that encounter, you now declare, I am the house of God. Hallelujah. I have come to the place of Bethel. Are you with me? Yes, so he renamed the place to signify his encounter. As it were, he was giving that place a new normal. Are you getting me? And then if you go to verse 22, he anointed a stone and he said, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's a new way of life. After that encounter, he begins to say, okay, you know what, Lord? After what I've encountered here, because if you read the previous verses, God promised him. You know what? Let's read it. God promised him. God said, this land, I will bring you again. And I will give it to your seed forever. And I will not leave you until I confirm my good word unto you. Let me read it for you because I believe it's somebody's prophetic word right now. Are you with me? See, anything you read and you see that this thing is for you, shout amen. Genesis 28. Genesis 28 from verse 12. The Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Everybody read verse 14 with me. And thy seed shall be as the dust of... Amen. Verse 15. I want you to lambano this verse as your own. Are you with me? Everybody read verse 15 with a loud voice. Hey. Read it again with a loud voice and say amen. And will keep thee in all places. For I will not leave thee. He's saying he will not leave you until he has done that which he spoke unto you. That is somebody's word. He will not leave you until he has fulfilled what he spoke unto you. He will not leave you until he has fulfilled that which he spoke unto you. Amen. Look at that. After that kind of promise, then he said, God, I will anoint this place as a pillar, and whatever you give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, I'm not here to preach about tithing. I'm here to preach about the lifestyle of sacrifice after an encounter. Some of you, after immersion camp, after the encounter you had, God may have told you, from now henceforth, every day, you must pray for 2 hours. You must pray for 1 hour. Some of you, you had those things. You felt it in the camp meeting. You're like, no. I feel like this should start. Praise the Lord. After the immersion camp, after the encounter, God will tell you, okay, now you have to start this. You have to start that. Any encounter with God that doesn't leave you with new consecrations was wasted. Because, like I will show you eventually, the consecrations will not just preserve the impact, it will help you fulfill all that God was trying to do in the first place. As some of you, God will say, you know what, after this encounter, you will begin this in this church. You will start this. You will start that. For instance, during the immersion camp, it was clear that from next year, I must start holding crusades. Are you with me? It was clear that I have to start praying for the sick even more. It was clear, you know, after the first session on Wednesday, I knew that God was trying to tell me something. You know, that's Wednesday. I wanted to teach. And then we just worshipped and we just sang. I knew that God had been trying to tell me something. David, we need to take worship in New Breed more seriously. Are you with me? So it's my consecration now. So as your pastor and lead steward of New Breed, I know that going forward, every first day of our immersion camp, we will have something like a live recording. Are you with me? Let me show you another one. In Genesis 14, God moved Abraham to go and war with some kings. Especially because Abraham's nephew, Lot, was captured by those kings. And then the Bible says from verse 17, the Bible says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. So Abraham's nephew was captured, and Abraham picked up 318 servants of his own house and went and rescued Lot, fought with those kings, defeated those kings, rescued Lot's family, and they were on their way back. And then on their way back, they met a certain prophet or a certain priest of God called Melchizedek. Are you with me? In verse 18, the Bible says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 20, and he blessed the Most High, which... Okay, let me read verse 19, please. I jumped that. Very important. And he blessed him. So who blessed who? Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Who gave him tithes? Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes. See here. If you notice, this particular encounter was after a victory, not before the victory. Are you with me? See, as a Christian, after a major breakthrough, what do you do? After when God opens a major door, what do you do? You know, I was talking to someone. I won't mention the person's name because of political reasons. So, he mentioned to me how his friend was given an appointment, a major appointment. And when the friend got the appointment, he was trying to tell him, after this appointment, I think, go to your house, kneel down and say, God, thank you. If you can, take a seat, go to your pastor. He's not my member, so I'm not saying it. Are you with me? Go to your pastor or just do something. Do something spiritual to say, God, thank you. Call your family members, hold hands together and pray and say, Father, I thank you for this. Guess what this woman being did? As they gave him the appointment, he just called his friends and said, he don't set, he don't land. Meet me at the joint. They went to pepper soup joint, bought pepper soup and started eating, drinking. They drank beer. They were just having fun. Emilio, our time has come. They're like, all of us, we are going to share the cake now. This man, they partied and partied and partied till late in the night. By morning, he was still drunk. They had to carry him to the house. In the night, while he was dancing, his name was switched. So, when his name was switched, he came back to this, my friend, and said, let's pray. The guy said, you're not serious. When I told you that let's go and pray and thank God, see what God has done. You said no. You said you want to party. Go and party now. After a major breakthrough, when you move into a new house, when you enter a new phase of your life, do you have time to say, Lord, thank you? Are you with me? Or you just wake up and say, you know me? And we see Abraham's attitude here. And then Abraham gave tithes, another way of sacrifice. Are you with me? And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, everybody read verse 22. I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, verse 23, that I will not take a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine. Are you with me? As it were, he's saying, because I have encountered God and I have lifted up my hands to God, there are some things I will not do. After this encounter, I have lifted up my hands to God. Oh, I have encountered God like this. Don't expect me to put my hands in the things that belong to the king of Sodom. Are you with me? That means after a special encounter with God, there are some things God is expecting. You cannot finish from immersion camp and still be going to your boyfriend's house to go and do another thing that is not of God. But pastor, I'm just going to his house to pray. No problem. If it's prayer, no problem. Praise the Lord. No, you cannot... You cannot finish from that powerful encounter. Are you with me? and go and put your hands in things that God will wonder, what is wrong with this one? You know, the Bible says, do not cast your pearls before a swine. Meaning, when God sees that a person, no matter what he does, you know what a swine is? Pigs. No matter how much you clean up a pig, by evening, the pig has gone to throw himself inside the mud. So, when God sees that this man, no matter what you do for him, he's so connected with some kind of things. There are levels of encounters he will not be privy to. Are you with me? God will not allow you to get there because don't come and embarrass him. Praise the Lord. I know somebody will be hearing me saying, Pastor, but it's hard. Ah, are you just telling me that now because I've encountered God, I should just disconnect from some things? Yes! Is it hard? Yes. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Sacrifice, sacrifice. Praise the Lord. You think you cannot make sacrifice? You know how to, all of us, you know how to make sacrifice. You know. You know. Ah, you know now. You know, I've come to discover that when it comes to priorities, human beings know. We are not confused. We know what to do. I've shared the story here. In my final year, when it was obvious that if I don't read a particular course, I was going to have an extra year. Nobody told me. On my own, I carried the book. How I did it, I've not done it again, but I did it. I read for 20 hours. 20 hours out of 24 hours, what is left? 1 week to the paper, I saw that if I don't read like this, extra year is a reality. It's real. I so crammed that course. I was giving you the gist now. I crammed the course. By the time I was done, I had an A. But if you ask me anything after that, I wrote that, I don't know anything again. And God being so kind, the man brought all the examples he gave us in the textbook. So, you know when you cram a course from the answer to the question? So, when I see the question, I know that the answer is 46.2 kilograms per second. Okay. I'll write the answer somewhere. I will start. Like that. Like that. We know how to make sacrifice when it means something to us. Are you with me? And actually, sacrifice is a language in the spirit. It's a language in the spirit. People are looking at me. Hey, I hope you understand what I'm saying, right? Yes, you are not lost, right? Yes, or is my mic too low? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Leviticus 6, verse 12 to 13. What I want to talk about now is just to throw some light on when God gives you a divine substance, he gives you some routines to preserve the impact. Leviticus 6, verse 12 to 13. It says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Are you with me? Everybody read from there. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And it shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings. Everybody, verse 13. One of your New Year resolutions is that as I step into the new year, the fire on my altar will ever be burning. Are you with me? That the fire on my altar from January 1st, I'm going to set up a structure whereby the fire on my altar will be burning. There has to be a new normal in my life. Are you with me? Some of you need to go back and start listening to the sermons. Thank God, the media team, they have been helping us break them. Session one, you write it down, you listen to it, you pray. You have to tell yourself, when will I read my Bible? When will I pray? What is my prayer time? If you don't have a prayer time, you don't have a prayer life. Did you hear what I said? If you don't have a prayer time, you don't have a prayer life. You can decide that, okay, my prayer time will be after our church devotions. You know, New Breed, we pray by 6 a.m. every day and by 11:30 p.m. But make sure you have a time where you pray, a time where you open the Bible. Because the fire on the altar shall ever be burning. Amen? Amen? Don't worry. Try it and see what happens. Do it for 2 months and see what happens. Just do it for 2 months and see what God begins to do in your life. Also, I want to show you 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. 1 Kings 11, verse 9 to 10. It's talking about Solomon. After Solomon encountered God, if you remember, when he gave the 1,000 burnt offering, if you know the story of Solomon, and then he encountered God, and God began to bless him. God began to lift Solomon. Solomon got to a point where he forgot the consecrations behind his encounter. God told him, I will make you king. There will be no one greater than you. But you see, the gods of these other lands, you must not bring them into Israel. You will not marry strange wives. Are you with me? Look at what I want to show you. 1 Kings 11, verse 9 to 10. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. The way some of you are reading, if your neighbor is sleeping, tell them, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Let's read. 1 Kings 11, from verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. Because his heart was torn from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Now, why did God have to put the appearance there? Why did God have to put the appearance there? Because God expected that if I appear unto you, some things are non-negotiable. Are you with me? You know, people say, I want Jesus to show up in my room. I want to enter this. See, there are levels of encounters that if you have, after you have those encounters, God expects that from this time henceforth, are you with me? Some things must continue and some things must stop. Praise the Lord. Even you do it too. There is a way somebody is close to you. The person does something, you're like, you that I bring to my house to eat. Are you with me? You that even knows where my parents stay. How will you do this kind of thing? And if somebody else who maybe is an outsider does that thing, you may not be so stern. Are you with me? You may not be even so angry. You're like, okay, it's just an outsider. It's just a random guy. But when is this person? You're like, how far? Look at how far we have come and you are doing this. This is the end. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God gave him those consecrations to preserve. Eventually, if you study the story of Solomon, because of what he did, God now said, the kingdom will not be destroyed in your time, but it will be destroyed in your children's time. Bible, eh? So Jehoram and Rehoboam did not know that their misbehavior was covenant instilled. If you read the lives of Solomon's children, they were misbehaving. And maybe even if they wanted to act with sense, their father had made a mistake. Are you with me? And they too, truly, they did not have sense. Instead of them to go to God and say, Lord, have mercy upon us, they continued in their misbehavior. Praise the Lord. And finally, when God gives consecrations, it is so that you will enter into the fullness of what he has prepared. Now, this one, listen. Pay attention. Let me tell you something. I know we are a handful this morning, so I can say some things. Let me tell you something. No matter the prophecy God gives you, no matter what God says to you, please try and find out what will God have me do to see that this thing he said to me comes to pass. Let me show you some examples in the Bible. And if you understand what I'm saying, you will know why there are too many people with words from God. They said, you will be a great woman.
God will use you. He will do this for the kingdom. He will do that. But let me tell you, if you don't find out what you must do, you may not step into it though. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Are you with me? And he said unto him, jump to verse 7. God was still talking. Jump to verse 7. And God said unto Abraham, I am the Lord that brought thee out of all of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Look at all. God is talking. But Abraham is a wise man. No one that is called our father of faith. Everybody look at, read verse 8. Read it again. Hey. So, it's just like God telling you, I will make you the president of this country in some years' time. Then you ask God, how will I know that this thing will happen? Look at God's response. Now, look at God's response. Verse 9. Oh, Jesus. Everybody, verse 9. Look at who. So that means, wait. If Abraham did not ask, he would not have known that God wanted to cut a covenant with him to fulfill the promise. God. Let me tell you something. This is why, no matter what I do, I like to teach. Because if you don't teach the saints, there are many promises that require principles for them to become fulfilled. Look at this. So, Abraham asked God, how will I know that this thing will come to pass? God said, okay, for an assurance that this will come to pass, you will enter a covenant with me. Take a heifer of 3 years old. Take a goat of 3 years old. Take a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And if you read the story to the end, God told him, divide it into two. And keep to this side and keep to the other side. He's just talking about sacrifice. For some of you, God will say, for this thing I have said, this land that you inherit, you will pray for 3 hours every day for 3 years. Are you with me? You know, I have given that story here before. It's one of my old testimonies I've shared. You know, when I finished from the university in 2015, I was telling the Lord, God, I want to walk somewhere. And the Lord said, okay. He replied me, I will give you somewhere to walk. I said, I want to walk somewhere before I go for my youth service. He told me, I will give you somewhere to walk. And now, he didn't tell me, go here or go there. One day, I was in a taxi. The taxi was moving. I saw a building, and I heard him say, come down and go there. Eventually, that was the office. I got the job. I had the skills, and I got the job. Now, if I hear the first thing and I do not hear the second thing, are you with me? No matter what you do in our Christian journey, if Christians are not trained to walk with God so that they can hear instructions from God, do this, do that, do this, do that. How will I know that I will inherit this land? Okay, you will do this. You will do that. Are you following me? I've told you my story also. There was a time when I was doing my youth service in Makurdi. The Lord told me one morning. Sorry, it was in Benue State, but you know, NYC camp, they'll take you to one bush first. So we're in the bush, and the Lord said that you will do your place of primary assignment to be Makurdi. And I know that they already gave us brief that for you to get Makurdi, you have to sort. You have to give somebody money because that's the capital of the state. But God told me you will do it. This is what you will do. I will work it out for you. 2 days to the end of our stay, the Lord came to me and said, go and tell an official that you want to minister at their fellowship. Now, for me, I just felt like God was trying to tell me I should go somewhere, minister, get some souls saved and all that. I did not know that the instruction from God was connected to the promise of God. I went there and ministers and souls were saved. Somebody walked in. I did not know that that was the principal officer of the entire camp. He walked in and said, "Where is that boy?" There was a boy that sang. They called him for me. So I went to his office. He said, "When you were singing, I had a nudge in my spirit. I'm supposed to do something for you. Do you want to serve in Makurdi?" I said, "Well, I want to serve." I was very humble. "I want to serve anywhere that I am posted." He said, "I will serve, make you serve. I'll give you a good PPA. Don't worry. Just wait. Step outside." In 3 minutes, I got a text message. "Formerly this, now this." I said, "This country is blessed." In 3 minutes, my posting changed. I came back and showed him. He said, "That's right, it's done." So now, no need to clap. I'm just trying to show you how that many times what God is saying to you as a promise has other instructions. Are you with me? Can you do something? Close your eyes. Raise your hand. Say after me, "In the name of Jesus, every instruction I need for the fulfillment of God's promise in my life, I receive. Every instruction, every connection, every orchestration required for the fulfillment of God's promises in my life, I receive." Amen. You know, I asked you to raise your hand because now some of you are listening to me and saying, "Pastor, but I don't hear anything now. I cannot remember when God spoke to me." Let me tell you, if you prayed a prayer like this and you meant it sincerely, even when you are not hearing anything, God can orchestrate your steps. I thought you would say amen. Last verse we'll read and we'll pray. Judges 13 from verse 1 to 5. Judges chapter 13 from verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, 'Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son.'" I thought you would say amen. Amen. Everybody, verse 4 and verse 5. "Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." Verse 5. "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." Are you seeing this? God's promise was he would deliver Israel from the Philistines. But there was an instruction: don't cut his hair. Don't cut his hair. You, the mother, don't take strong drink. See, generally, there are things we know that this is a sin and this is not a sin. But beyond that level, as you begin to rise in your walk with God, there are some things that, in a general sense, is not a sin, but it is God's consecration to you. Are you following me? You will know that you are a mature Christian when, beyond what people call sin or what they call not sin, you now know that, God has said this one. This is for me personally. Are you following me? Are you following me? If you're a Christian and you lack such type of things, there's a problem. You have been a Christian for 5 years, for 10 years. What are the special consecrations? For instance, I remember when God told me, Make sure anytime you have a lump sum of money, apart from your tithe and offering, you don't spend all the money without remembering the poor. God just bless you that was earning 50K all of a sudden, boom! You get like 1 million, 1.5 million. You squander. Somebody said amen. Amen. Say the amen well. Amen. You get that money. You squander everything. You don't give anything to your parents. You don't give anything to the poor. You eat everything. No, you don't have consecration now. You don't, apart from yourself, you did not think of somebody to support. You did not think of somebody in need to stand for. You eat everything. Ah, consecration, no day. A whole month comes and goes. No day of fasting. No day of fasting. No day where you said today, I will not eat. I will pray and fast. No, you need consecration. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And even as you rise, God will begin to give you instructions. I remember January 2022. In fact, 2021. Remember that time that flight tickets were hiked from, we used to pay 15K. All of a sudden, the 15K, they said the lowest flight was now 50,000. Hey! Me, I remember in my mind, I'm going to use bus. Boss ministries, because before that time, I was a Bossian. If there's any word like that, there's no major park between Abuja, Port Harcourt, Lagos, Benue Links. They know my face. As I'm coming like this, the man say, welcome, you're traveling again. Benue Links, Gwagwalada here, they know my face very well. But then God began to change my story small, small. I started using flight. Then they now increased this thing. I said, God, I'm going back, please. Don't stress me. Then the Lord said to me, from this time henceforth, you are not permitted to travel by road for any trip more than 4 hours. He said, if you don't have the money, sit down there. Don't go anywhere. I'm just trying to explain to you what consecration looks like. He said, you're not going anywhere. If you don't have the money, don't go. You must, if once the trip is more than 4 hours, you must use flight. So I said, God, you know I'm supposed to travel to Lagos Church and preach. I will use bus. What's there now? I will just use bus. That's me. You can use me. I'm telling you my own with God. I made up my mind that morning that I was going to travel the next day by bus. Somebody came into the church and was crying. Pastor had a dream. Pastor, in that dream, you went to Lagos by bus and the bus had an accident and you were the only one that died. I said, I reject it. I bind you. What was that? Come and shift. I bind you. Get out of this place. 3 hours later, another member of the church, this was in Port Harcourt, she came. This one came more dramatic. Pastor! I had a dream. Pastor, don't use bus. But I went back and said, God, I'm sorry. I will not. Now, another man of God will still bone his face and go. Something happens. They say God is not faithful. Consecrations. When God begins to give you instructions, there are some people God will tell them. You see, there's a man of God, God told me. He said, you see that man of God? He said, you are a man of God, or he's a man of God. But that man of God is your responsibility. Anything he needs, if you have the money, do it for him. I say, God, this one's strong. He said, you see that, pastor? You, every year, make sure you send this amount of money to him. Am I clear? I say, yes, sir. I don't want problem. Yes, sir. So, the man of God, we think I just like him. You don't know I'm under command. Are you with me? The instructions as you grow. Praise the Lord. Now, look at Samson. Those instructions were given so that he will fulfill what God has said. If not that Samson's hair was cut, Maybe he would have been the judge that would destroy the Philistines completely. Don't play games around your consecrations. Are you with me? Don't play games. He said, because of love, he was now playing games. He said, what is the secret of your power? If you cut your hair, don't worry. If you cut my hair, no, if you just cut my hair, Delilah, I'll be weak. You safe. You told her the first one that if they tie you with, is it flax or all of that? What is that? Those ropes, you will be weak. She did it. Sin's supposed to tell you, this girl wants to kill me. This girl wants to kill me. This girl wants to kill me. But no, love is blind. And true, he became blind. They removed his eye. Don't let any love. I remember one time, I liked one girl. Ay, Jesus. I can relate. I like this girl. But I noticed that when we start talking, once I talk Jesus 1-2, she will change the topic. Once I talk Jesus 1-2, she will change the topic. She'll say, can we talk about something else? Can we talk about movies? Can we talk about... When I notice, can we... I say, come. Me, I am a priest unto a deity. If you see me like this, I am a priest unto God. I know, no matter what I do, I know I am a man of God. If you are like this, we cannot walk. And I know you are beautiful. Your shape is like hourglass. You don't make me miss my hour of destiny. So, and that's how I went forward. I did not look back. No. Are you with me? Don't let anything. As you are entering the new year, write every month, I will take 3 days to fast. I will do this. I will not play with my tithes. I will do this. I will preach and win to one soul every month. I'm going to talk about something because the Lord asked me to talk about it. Some of you will write, I will plan for my parents. As you are making money, what quota are you sending to your mother? What are you sending to your father? Are you with me? I will do this. I will read 2 chapters of the Bible every day. It will not kill you. 2 chapters is small, though. You can do it. You can do it. Praise the Lord. Let there be order in your life. Let there be order. Let there be order. We have 10 more days to the end of this year. You say, okay, the remaining 10 days, I will finish all immersion camp sermons. Are you with me? Pastor, I'm too busy. But you have time to watch Telemundo. Pragya. You have time. African Magic. Z World. Big Brother. It's just my opinion. They are not raining again. You have time. As the year is coming to an end, you can say 3 days before the end of this year, I will fast. The last 3 days, 29th, 30th, and 31st, we are finished eating Christmas rice. We are fast. Fast, fast, fast. Pray. Jump on your feet. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Everything I must do to begin a new normal of glory, I receive the wisdom to get it done. Holy Spirit, help me. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to pray? I want you to pray. 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 Sabarata kapalanto koposhikia telia. Radadabalaga Sheketelia. Don't finish from immersion camp and watch your prayer life die. Don't enter into 2026 with your prayer life shaking. Don't enter into the new year without a word from the Lord. Don't enter into the new year feeling lethargic spiritually. Some of you, you need to war. You need to war for your faith. War. Some of you, you need to wake up and fight. You have been sleeping for too long. Wake up and fight. Wake up and pray. Wake up and fight. Sabaradabala teketelia. I want to hear your voices. Pray, 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 people of God, pray.